Sign up. If you want to be a host, you can be a host. You don't have to lead. You can just say, I'll open up my doors and you can come to my house. You can be a leader, so you don't have to open up your home, but you can go and you can lead a group. You're really facilitating just some discussion. We give you some questions. We feed those to you, so that way it helps get things going. So the table is in the back if you can sign up for that. And open up in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6 with me, and we're going to take a look at a portion of Scripture as we conclude and come to the end of this series that we've journeyed on called Hallmarks of Wisdom. Hallmarks of Wisdom. We're going to look at Luke chapter 6, just a couple verses, verses 43 through 45. And I want to talk to you this morning. As I said, we're coming to the end of a series, and we've talked about hallmarks of wisdom, how important it is to be able to have wisdom. I've shared with you some stories of some things that I've done that were unwise. Have you ever done anything unwise? We could all raise our hand to that. We've made mistakes. We've done things that, whether we thought they were smart or not at the time, we chose to do them and made an unwise choice. I share with you that I set a floor on fire at a place I worked because I was playing with flammable liquids. It was an unwise thing. You know, you can get in trouble for stuff like that. And we all make unwise choices. But how do you gain wisdom along the way? You know, hallmarks of wisdom. What are some hallmarks of wisdom that God would have for us in our life? We've said that we need to feed our spirits, make right choices, listen and obey, watch your mouth. But one of the most important is make sure you think before you speak. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is making sure that we think before we speak. And not just having thoughts, but having Christ-like thoughts. If you've ever thought this, sometimes my thoughts aren't always Christ-like. Are yours? I mean, you constantly are thinking of the right thing. You're always thinking about Jesus. You're always thinking about the best in everybody. Now, we don't always do that, do we? So you can't stop those thoughts from coming. But what you can stop is entertaining those thoughts, feeding those thoughts, and letting them become the center of your life. Because if you do that, then all of a sudden it starts to build this fortress that tries to protect and defend who you are. You start justifying and making excuses for why you're right and they're wrong. And then you start saying things that you can't take back. You've got to think before you speak. And it's important. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43, it says that no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruits. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. Here it is, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, your mouth is going to speak that which is in your heart. So the question this morning is simply, what's in your heart? Yeah, think about that. What's in your heart? Because if what's in your heart is not good and you think that you can do a good job at covering it up, you got another thing coming. The Bible says that your mouth is the mirror of your heart. So your mouth is going to tell on you. It's going to tell what's in your heart. When you speak to somebody, have you ever talked to somebody and all of a sudden you could bring up a topic, you could bring up just in anything, and they start getting defensive, they start getting bitter, they start getting anxious, they start getting angry. You've triggered something. Their heart is being shown by the words that they speak. You see, wisdom says that if you're going to have this hallmark of wisdom, you must think before you speak. How many of you, when you grew up, you had the cereal boxes with prizes in the box? They don't do that anymore, do they? It's all this online garbage, you know. Who cares? You know, give me a prize in the box. I don't care if it made 1 cent to make the thing. I want the prize in the box. I loved it. As a matter of fact, if you were like me, I picked my cereal based on the prize that was in the box. Yeah, you know, you'd be eating like toasted oats of healthiness, you know. I don't want the stinking cereal, but I want the toy in the bottom of the box. You know, so I go down the line and I look, you know, at your Frosted Flakes and your Cheerios. And Cheerios sometimes would have a cool gift, but they had to have a cool gift to offset the fact that they're Cheerios. Okay? You know, All Brand. What kid's going to eat All Brand? A kid who has a cool prize in the box. That's who. But I would choose the cereal box based on the prize that was there. But there was this kind of an unspoken rule that took place within the house. If you want to get to the prize in the box, you got to eat the cereal that's on top of it first. Now, I hated that rule. I loved it when, because they used to put the prize in the cereal at the bottom. Then they started putting the prize under the bag that was in the box. You know what I'm talking about? So you could open up the box, pull the bag out, get your gift, put the cereal back in, never eat the cereal again. But you got the prize, right? So there's this unspoken rule in our house. If you want the prize that's in the box, you got to eat the cereal that's in the box first. So that was tough because I knew this. I knew that I was going to have to eat whatever it is that I bought if I wanted to get to the prize that I wanted. You know, in kind of a similar way, that's the way it is with wisdom. Many of us want wisdom. We want to be wise. We just don't want to eat what's necessary to gain the wisdom that's there. We go down and we say through the book of the Bible and we hear a preacher preach and I would like to pull this out and I like to pull that out and I like for people to call me, you know, holier than thou and I love people to say that I'm integrous and I love people to say that I'm wise and I want all these things and we treat it like a cereal box that we just want to reach in and grab the prize out of the box but we don't want to eat the cereal that's in there. And God says, if you want a hallmark of wisdom, one of the things that you're going to have to do is think before you speak. Wisdom that you gain along the way isn't going to come just because God wants to throw it your way. Can he do that? Absolutely. Does he at times do that and give you wisdom even though it's unmerited or undeserved? Absolutely. That's called grace. But if you really want to become that person, that when people look at you and they say, there's a wisdom inside of you that I've not seen anywhere else. As a matter of fact, I can tell this didn't come from man. I can tell this is coming from somewhere else. Then you have to eat the cereal. You have to get into the Word of God. You see, with wisdom, God's Word's very clear that wisdom is there for the taking, but we must feed ourselves His Word to get to the prize. Are you with me so far? Is everyone craving cereal all of a sudden? A box of Lucky Charms or... One of the best prayers that we could pray each day would be this, Lord, may my thoughts please you today. I challenge you to pray that prayer. That took less than 5 seconds right there. Lord, may my thoughts please you today. Just stop there. Just leave it at that and see what God will do. Because most of the times we say something like, Lord, may my thoughts please you today and my actions, and Lord, may I do well, and will you forgive me for that? And then we start going into this litany of a prayer, and we start saying things like, all of a sudden, either we're trying to convince God why we should be good even though we know we're not, or we're praying more prayers trying to just kind of encourage God, stir him up, get him excited. God's already excited about you. He wants you to be excited about him. Well, how can that happen? Just say, Lord, may my thoughts please you today. Because I tell you this, many people are busy saying, Lord, will you make me into something I'm not because I don't like me and I don't know how you could either. When God's saying, I love you for who you are, right the way you are, and when you say, Lord, may my thoughts please you today, know this, your actions will follow your thoughts. Okay? So many of us are saying, Lord, forgive me for this, which it's not bad to do. You know, God forgives. Lord, help me with my actions. We're addressing actions when maybe if we addressed our thoughts and we said, Lord, give me wisdom, we would see things change because our thoughts are going to dictate our actions. Nobody ends up in a miserable place just because they all of a sudden are there. Usually they've entertained something in their mind. They're harboring something in their thought process. They're entertaining a fantasy they shouldn't be entertaining. And then all of a sudden they're in a miserable place and they don't know how they got there. Pray the prayer, Lord, may my thoughts please you today. It said in Luke 6:45 that the good man out of the good treasures of his heart brought forth that which was what? Good. That which was good. Here comes another one. Okay, you ready? The evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth that which is evil. Okay, I'm just making sure you're with me. For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. How do we gain these hallmarks of wisdom? The Bible says, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Now, the word there, when it talks about the word wicked, it's using a word called rasha, which means morally wrong, godless, lawless, is what it's talking about. It's an internal disturbance that may be conveyed as if to say that a man is wicked because of unresolved inner turmoil. So it's saying that the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the person who has this unresolved inner turmoil, who's not thinking before he speaks, but just speaking whatever he thinks, then that's going to produce something that's wrong. It's going to produce evil things. And God says, if you want to be a person of wisdom, then learn to ponder. So this passage tells us that the righteous takes time to consider what he says. He checks his heart. He checks his motives before responding to ensure that their words build up and heal others and glorify God, as opposed to letting one's mouth speak and tear down or wound or discourage others. You see, words are very powerful, and they can cause a lot of transgression. But if we stop to think first, will increase the likelihood that our words will build up and heal. You know, this previous scripture that we read about pondering screams, make sure you think before you speak. How many of you have ever said something you wish you could take back? Yeah, we all do, don't we? You say something and you realize, it's almost, have you ever had those moments where you hear yourself saying something and your brain's going, no, but the words are coming out anyway, and you wish you could take them back? Or you have this understanding that here it comes and I can't do anything to stop it. So you've already gone into like crisis mode of how you can regain your composure or your integrity or something. It happens. I'm not saying that a wise person never screws up. I'm not saying that a wise person never makes mistakes. I'm not saying that a wise person is so holy and righteous they can do no wrong. I'm saying a wise person realizes and recognizes that when they mess up, they're quick to make it right. A wise person says, okay, I'm not going to have it all perfected or figured out, but I'm going to try to ponder and think. Pondering is important. Pondering is not just having a quick thought. Pondering means thinking about how you're going to answer a situation. You get in an argument with your spouse, a disagreement. You're dealing with an employer, an employee, and you've got to talk to them. Sometimes some of us don't handle confrontation well, and so we just kind of boom, and blow up all over everybody as quick as we can because we just want to get it over with. And we're not sure if we communicated anything except that something happened. A tornado just swept through. You know, and some of us do very well at communicating and talking with others. Be very careful. No matter if you do well or you don't do well, if you don't ponder and think about it and make sure you take into consideration the other person's thoughts and feelings, you see, I can talk to somebody, and let's say that they have a bad vocabulary, and it's really bothering me, and I want to talk to them. I can go and say, you're so stupid. You got like the dumbest words you ever say in your life. You know, I could say something like that. How do you think they're going to take that? They're going to get mad, and they're probably going to say some of those words to me. But I could go and I could say, listen, you know, I'd like to talk to you. You've got so much going for you. Do you know how good you are at this? Do you know how good you are? You know, you can build them up, encourage them. Slip the truth in there. The way you use your words are very important. But if you don't take time to think about how to respond to people, to respond to situations, they can become more painful. We need to learn to be a people that ponder and think about the words that we say and understand that as we do that, what we're literally doing is training ourselves to respond like Jesus would. Look at the way Jesus responded in the Bible. I don't know anybody else in the Bible who could be mocked, betrayed, spit on, punched, accused. He was accused of being an alcoholic. He was accused of being immoral sexually. He was all this stuff. And did he get mad and start duking it out with people? No. What did he do? He took time to think before he responded. And he said, I need wisdom from my Father. And if Jesus needed wisdom while he walked this earth, how much more do we need wisdom to face the situations we face? We must think before we speak. Why? Well, there's an outline in your, there's a outline in your bulletin. Yeah, outline in your bulletin. If you want to follow along with me, I had to think before I spoke there. And I want to give you just three things. There's many things I could come to mind. Why must we think before we speak? A list came to my mind, but I thought, well, what's the most important, and what is it that we need to focus on? And I thought, well, we must think before we speak. Number one, write this down, because wrong words bring pain. And right words bring healing. This is important. Now, this is an obvious statement. We're like, yes, I understand this. Maybe you're here today and you've been the recipient of wrong words within the last 24 hours. Somebody's lit you up like a Christmas tree. They told you what they think about you. They told you where to go, and they told you how to get there. And you're hurt. Those words have brought pain in your life. You see, that doesn't make it right. Whether there's truth in the midst of those words is irrelevant at this point, because somebody has used their words and has not thought before they spoke, and it has brought pain into the life of somebody. Words can bring healing. Sometimes the right words spoken at the right time, Proverbs says, how sweet it is. You see, our words are very important. Wrong words can bring pain, right words can bring healing. Have you ever talked with someone and all of a sudden they said something to you that just cut you to the quick? I mean, it hurts. It was painful. It cuts you deep, and the other person may not even know that they hurt you. Sometimes people, when they say things that hurt you, some of them know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly why they said what they said, because they wanted to cut you at the quick. They want to hurt you because they're hurt. Hurt people hurt people. And they were out to say something, to do something, to cut you to the quick because they are angry and they are hurt. But then there's times where somebody has cut you to the quick and they don't even know they did it. They don't even know that they hurt you the way, maybe they were using sarcasm. Maybe they thought they were being humorous, but they said something that embarrassed you or that hurt you. You see, it's very important to think before you speak, because know this, people, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. You know, I remember a time in my life, I like to have fun. I was very sarcastic. Still am to some degree. But I would use sarcasm as a means to make people laugh. I would use sarcasm and pick on people, not because I was trying to be mean to them, but I was trying to have fun and I was trying to laugh, not realizing until the Lord kind of convicted my heart that maybe my sarcasm is hurting people's feelings. Maybe I'm saying something to laugh about someone or something else, and in the midst of it, I'm cutting them down just so that I can look good or feel better. Does that make that right? Absolutely not. You see, our words are very important. And if we're not careful, we'll think, well, it doesn't really matter what the other person thinks, because all that really matters at this point is what I think and what I feel. But that's a very selfish thought. And we're all guilty of this at times. Sometimes we'll run into this and we won't even know it. We can say things that hurt people's feelings. You ever have one of those days where that's it, I've had enough. And somebody crosses the line and you let them have it. Be very careful and think before you speak, especially in those moments. You know, my son, I remember when he was about 5 years old, he had this nasty habit of running in front of you, especially when we pull into the driveway. And we pull into the driveway, not in front of the car. We park the car, get out of the car, and, you know, we'd be grabbing bags, whatever it was, and you'd go to walk, and Seth would just beeline right in front of you, and you'd have to do one of those and stop because you'd almost trip over him. You know, so you'd say, Seth, quit doing that. You know, quit walking in front of me like that. I felt bad. I didn't want to knock him down accidentally, but I also was getting tired of always having to stop. I don't want to drop what's in my hands. And maybe it was more of a personal pet peeve of mine, but it was bugging me, and he kept doing it, and he kept doing it. And I remember just one day, I'd had a bad day. I was grumpy. I was irritable. And I know none of you ever get grumpy and irritable, but I was this day. And I was in a bad mood, and I got out of the car. My hands were full, and Lisa and Drea, I forgot my daughter's name there for a minute, they were just getting out of the car, and Seth beelined it for the door, and I had it. I was done. I said, Seth, I've told you how many times to quit stepping in front of people, and I'm tired of you doing it. You're not listening. Get up to your room, and don't leave that room till I get there. And poof, he went to tears. And, I mean, I was mad, and I thought justifiably so. I mean, this little, you know, twerp keeps doing this to me. I've told him how many times. He had this coming, and I look over to the car almost as if to see if I've got Lisa on my side, and she's like, I'm not even going over there. Yeah, I was on my own at the time. Seth went up there, but he was crying so much more than I expected, and I thought, what's his problem? You know, here he's doing all of this, and I let him know what the truth is, and now he's bawling up there in his room, and what I was doing was internalizing here, because I knew something I did wasn't right. But I was trying to talk myself out of it. You ever do that as a parent? You sometimes cross a line, and not even as a parent, just as a human being. You say something, you cross a line, you get too angry, you've done something, you're the one at fault, you know it, but you're trying to talk yourself out of it. You're trying to tell yourself why it's okay. You're trying to justify yourself why it's all right that you did this. And I went up to the bedroom, eventually talked to him, and I thought, okay, I obviously overreacted. And I tell you, I felt like the biggest jerk in the world at that point when I realized I overreacted. Here, my son, I told him, I said, I don't understand this. I've told you how many times to quit cutting me off like that, but you keep doing it. Why did you do that? And he looked at me and he goes, Dad, he said, your hands were full of those groceries. And he said, so I was running to the door to open it for you. And I went, oh, crap. You feel like a big jerk. Because at that point, now, was it right that he kept doing that? No, we can work on that. But the motive of his heart was to help me. And what did I do? Lit him up like a Christmas tree. And just told him, you know, how rude and how selfish he was. And my words had hurt him and cut him to the quick. So you know, I talked to him. You know, like I said, I felt like the biggest jerk at that time. Here he's trying to help me do something nice. I got angry. And I used my words in a way. Were my words wrong? No, my words were still right as far as you need to quit doing that. But the heart and the motive behind the words and the impact of my words had such a punch to them that when they were spoken, I couldn't take back the way that I had said it. Now, I'm sure something like this has happened to each and every one of us. We've spoken some words that you never intended to hurt somebody as bad as it did. And once I realized what was going on, I had a choice to make. I could either decide in my heart, you have this choice too, when you cross a line, you either go, he'll just have to suck it up, kid, you know, just deal with it. That's life. You might as well get used to it. That's what some of us tell people. Or you could do the other and go and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I used my words. And apologize. Proverbs 12:18 says, there's one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, maybe you've made that mistake that I did, and your words were like a sword that thrust deep into the heart of somebody you love. You have the same choice to make today. You may say, well, it's too late. I've already spoken the words, and even though I didn't mean for it to hurt them as much as it did, they're just going to have to deal with it. I mean, what can I do now anyway? Well, listen, it's never too late to take those words and turn them around and use words that were once words that were wrong, that brought pain, and now let those words, some of those words, become words that become healing. The choice is always ours, and so I had to go and talk to my son, and I said, son, and he was crying on his bed, and I said, hey, son, I'm sorry. I said, Dad wasn't, I didn't understand what you were doing. And through his tears, he said, what? And I said, I was tired, I was cranky, and I was wrong. I'm sorry for hurting your feelings. You were just trying to be kind. Will you forgive me? And his eyes perked up, and he was like, you want me to forgive you? You know, because I remember at a young age, he's processing all this, and I'm like, yes. It was a humble pie that I had to eat, but it was a huge lesson in his life. Why? Because if we could ever learn to use the words, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? We'd get so much further in relationships. Why? Because our words are so powerful. Sometimes we don't think before we speak, and we use words to be something that brings harm, words that brings pain in our life, instead of allowing words to be a positive thing that can bring healing in the lives of others. And he did forgive me. You know, those words are so huge. And if you truly want to have hallmarks of wisdom, then you have to think before you speak and get very familiar with the words, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? You going to be able to do that? Let's practice. Say after me, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Now remember to use that when you're at home later, okay? You're like, that's when it's hard. I can say it in a group, but can I say it one-on-one? But that's where it has its effectiveness and its power. Why else should we think before we speak? Number two, write this down. Because it makes you more persuasive. It makes you more persuasive. Now you may say, well, what do you mean by that, persuasive? What do I have to be persuasive about? I don't understand. Many times when we want something, we just say, I want it. I think of our world today, our culture, our society. We live in such a fast food, convenience type of a society that if we want something, we want it now. We go and we drive through. I remember, just in the last couple weeks, I was hungry. I pulled into Burger King. I saw there were three cars and they weren't moving fast enough, so to Wendy's I went. Why? Because I wanted convenience. I wanted fastness. And good grief, there's three cars deep. We want it now, don't we? We don't want to wait. We want to be catered to. You have to understand, Proverbs 16:23 says this. It says, the heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Have you wanted something and the other person didn't and it led to an argument? How do you be? Where's the wisdom in the midst of that? The Bible just says that you become persuasive. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth. In other words, the person who just does what he wants to do and says what he thinks, usually what it does is it leads to more trouble. But the one who can guard his mouth and learn to think before he or she speaks becomes persuasive, the Bible says. When we don't think before we speak, we usually say things that we regret, things that we wish we could take back. But for the one who learns to think before they speak, they know what they're saying. They've thought it through, and they've included others, not just themselves. The Bible says that that kind of a person is a wise person, and that kind of a person will accomplish much. Proverbs 15:28 says that the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. You see, when you take the time to think through what you're going to say, then you're being wise. Think of the many times. How many times have you wished you could take something back? How many times have you thought, if I would have, this has happened to me before. Have you ever done something stupid, okay? You're 10 minutes into it, into your stupid, I put my foot in my mouth. And my prayer kind of goes like this. God, if I could just go back 30 minutes. If I could just go back an hour, I would undo what I've done. Have you ever been there? You just want to go back. But the reality is you can't go back. You can't go back in time. You can't go back and erase what was done. You can't go back and erase what was said. So then you're left like, well, what can I do? Understand the Bible says wisdom continues, presses on, becomes persuasive, and learns that even though you may have put your foot in your mouth, you can do something about that. You can learn from that. If anything, learn not to do what you just did. That's one thing. You can start with something as simple as that. And then learn what it is that you need to do next. We have to understand many times wisdom is not just something. What we want is handed to us. But it's a learning process, just like through school. I don't know about you, but in school, I did not like tests. How many of you like tests? Not many of us do. We don't want to be tested. Some of us maybe are here today and you said, well, I didn't mind because I love the grades. I love to compete for them. And there's nothing wrong with that. But wisdom is the same way. It comes as you're tested in life. It comes through trials. Are you going to exercise wisdom? You can be sitting here today and say, life is going good. I agree. Wisdom is a great thing. We all need to have it. But where it's really challenged is when it's challenged in the trials of the fire is on. And you got to make right choices. How are you going to respond? The Bible says that when you respond with wisdom, there's a persuasiveness. In other words, when people hear you, they are going to be persuaded and say, there's something different about the words that you say. There's something different about the words that you speak. And they're going to, do you guys hear that clicking, by the way? Okay, it's driving me bananas. Hold on. There. I'm screwing with the sound people. That monitor's clicking like crazy. I don't know if you can hear it. Is it clicking up in here too? Okay. Hey, you can just kill the monitor for me. That would be wisdom. Wisdom would not be punting that thing across the sanctuary like I was thinking. Each and every one of us need to gain some wisdom in our life. If we're going to have these hallmarks of wisdom, think before you speak. And God's word says that it will add persuasiveness to your life. There will be an influence in your life that doesn't come from here. It comes from here. Sometimes we're trying to figure out the Word of God. We're trying to figure out the presence, the power of His Holy Spirit, how it all works. And He says, would you just walk in it? And you'll find that as you take the first step, He'll take the second. You draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. He will use your life in a way that you never thought He could use before, and you will become more persuasive. The Bible says this too. Why else should we make sure to think before we speak? Number three is because it will save you from a whole lot of trouble. Have you ever been in trouble? Loaded question. We can find ourselves in a load of trouble. The Bible's very clear that when we exercise wisdom, it says that it saves our soul from troubles. That the power of His Holy Spirit can deliver us. Are you facing troubles this morning? Maybe you just don't know what decision to make, whether to stay in the marriage, out of the marriage, whether to invest in that financially or not invest in that financially. You could be handling big things like that, or it could be something that you might say, well, I don't have that big of decisions, but you're still using, you need wisdom to decide, do I take this job or not? Do I move across town? Do I move across the state? Do I move across the country? You could say, where's the Lord leading me this morning? Should I invite my neighbor to church? Should I invite this neighbor? Should I invite the whole neighborhood? You know, you need wisdom in everything that you do. God will lead you and direct you. But know this, that when you become a person who thinks before they speak, you become a person that will save yourself from a whole lot of trouble. Half of the trouble, more than half of the trouble that I got myself into my whole entire life is because I used my mouth and I spoke before I thought. I would say things that brought more trouble into my life and into my world. Proverbs 21:23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble." Many of us want to guard our soul from trouble. If I said there's a sign-up sheet here today on guarding yourself from trouble, you sign up on the sheet and life will just be easy breezy. We'd all sign up on that thing. Well, the Bible says you can have that. You can guard your soul from trouble. How? By guarding your mouth and your tongue. Uh-oh, that's where the problem comes in. We say, I'd rather sign up on a sheet than have to guard my mouth and my tongue. Why? Because we want to say what we think. We want to just shoot off these words and say whatever it is that's on our mind, not being accountable for the words that we say. But you've got to understand that it's all about accountability. God says that we are responsible for the words that we speak. And the words that we speak are mirroring what's going on in our heart. That's why it's so important. You might say, what's so big about our words? It's telling what's going on in your heart. And God says there's an accountability that we have for those words. And when you guard them, it saves you from a whole lot of trouble. Many of us sometimes get stuck. You know, when I was 2006 would put my son at about the age of 5, I think, and he wanted to go out for soccer and do the soccer team. You've seen that. The YMCA does the soccer leagues. On Saturdays, they go out to the Y field, and you get all these teeny tiny little kids running around with these colorful T-shirts, not knowing what in the world they're doing. And he wanted me to coach his team. And I said, that would be great. I would love to do that. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was saying when I committed to that. It was like herding a bunch of cats. I mean, we got them on the field, and there's these little kids, and they're just everywhere. And I'm thinking, I'm going to teach them soccer, and we're going to get together, and we're just going to have this great moment, and we are going to be the champions. You know, I've got this all thought up in my mind. And first of all, I couldn't even get them in a huddle, let alone anything else. Talk about, I'm like, here, you guys go over here. And they're like, you know, I'm hungry. I'd be like, you know, shut up. We're not talking about food right now. You got to beat this team. Yeah, you come on over here. And I don't want to go over there. I don't want to stand by her. Just get over there. You know, this is going to be fun. And you're going to like it. And I'm planning the team out. And I remember this one kid who was they took turns being goalies. And it drove me bananas. Oh, my gosh. Just even thinking back, I'm like, throwing stuff in there, I give up. Just let them run and play. Finally, I did learn that. I thought, you know what? Why am I trying to do this? Just let them have fun. But I remember this one goalie. Kids were playing, and here comes the team, and they're coming looking like the champions. And I got two people over here playing trucks in a dirt hill, and, you know, one's over here rock, paper, scissors. This kid's going, pull my finger. You know, they're just, my team was just out there just having fun. Finally, I thought, let them have fun. But this one particular day, this kid played goalie. I don't want to play goalie. I'm like, everyone has to take a turn. Okay. Well, as goalie, when you stand back by the net, it can be pretty boring, especially if half the game is spent down on the other side of the field. And so on this particular day, he decided he was just going to play with the net. And so you know how those nets have those squares. So he put his hand in the net, and then he wove one back in. He's like, cool. You can tell where this is going, can't you? And because the ball's not been coming down to this end, so he's got to have some fun. And all of a sudden, I yell, and I say, here comes the ball. And he went, and he was stuck in the net. So the team's just trucking it down there. My goalie's nailed to the net, you know, and he's out here like, and he's squirming like a fish caught on the end of a fishing line. And the team just came in and knocked it in the net, no problem. He was caught. He had nothing that he could do. He couldn't get out of that. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. And so, you know, you try not to laugh at him, but you go over there and you unhook his arms and you help get him uncaught. And I laughed about that so much, but I thought, you know what? How many times have I done that with the words that I've spoken? Because I simply didn't think before I spoke. I just did whatever I wanted to do, and before I knew it, I'm stuck. And I'm at the mercy of everyone else. See, sometimes if we're not careful and if we don't think before we speak, unbeknownst to us, I don't think he planned on getting himself stuck. I don't think he planned on saying, let's see what happens here and how I can really mess this up real bad and lose the game and let people score without me being able to do anything. You know, I don't think in our words that we try to set ourselves up so that we can fail or fall or make mistakes. I think it just happens. How? Because at times we don't think. We don't think before we speak. We don't ponder on those words. Because here's the thing. Our words are very important. Not simply just because they're words that we speak, but we are responsible for the words that we speak because of how they affect others as well. You see, you tear down somebody. We went through, 8 months ago talking about the one another's. And one of the things that we talked about was the responsibility that we have as a body of believers about the words that we speak, whether we are building up and encouraging one another or not. You see, sometimes we think, well, if I don't build up and encourage somebody, it's not that I haven't done anything wrong. I just haven't done anything. No, the Bible says that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you build up, you don't tear down. And so it is with our words. Well, I wasn't thinking about what I said. Exactly. That's why a hallmark of wisdom is you think before you speak, because there's a responsibility that God places on us. Now, we've got to understand, this is so important. Guard your mouth, and it will save you from trouble. How many times have I myself or we corporately have gotten ourselves caught in a web of words? And I can't help but ask myself and think, how many times in life have I not thought before I spoke, and it only caused me more trouble? Maybe you could ask yourself the same question, or maybe you don't even have to, because as I've been talking, you know, things have been coming up in your mind where you remember times where you've spoken before you've thought it out. You know, I've quickly shared with you three things that help answer the question, what are some hallmarks of wisdom? How do we think, why should we think before we speak? But it's much more than just three nice little points that help you become a better person. This series that we've done in the Hallmarks of Wisdom, the whole goal of this has not just been to come up with some catchy little phrases and say, these are nice things. These, when applied to your life, help you become wiser. And God says in His Word that we are to want to gain wisdom in our lives. And in so doing, as we gain wisdom, we become more like Him. This whole series, Hallmark of Wisdom, has to do with something much greater than just about these little phrases. It has to do with relationship. Has to do with understanding that God wants us to draw closer to Him and mature in our walk with Him. It has to deal with relationship in the aspect that if we can learn to relate to others from the aspect of thinking of them first, we must do that or we miss out on the greatest blessing that God can give to you and to me. We miss out on the greatest blessing that God can give us in this life and in eternity as we spend time with Him. And if we just settle to live life with an attitude that it's all about me, well, we're just going to focus on self. It's going to be at the expense of marriages. It's going to be at the expense of jobs. It's going to be at the expense of integrity. It's going to be at the expense of our sons and our daughters. And God, He loves us too much to let us just settle in life. He loves us so much that He said He gave His only Son to die for us so we could have a place in heaven. But also, not just that, but that we could have a little bit of heaven on earth. This little heaven on earth is called relationship. You don't have to have it all figured out. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I've been struggling with relationships. I don't understand this. I've been trying to make it work. I've been trying to do my best. But how much of it have you been doing, living your life to please the Lord and to please others, or has it been pleasing self? Because God says that when you lay that down before Him and you surrender to Him, then He gives you what you need, not just what you want. You know, before I knew the Lord, I was busy. It was a full-time job. I was constantly asking the Lord for this and this and this and this, or others. I wanted. But it wasn't until I came to understand and totally surrender to God that God said, you don't need all that. Here's what you need. This is what's most important. And when you gain what's most important, when you gain wisdom from above, then you not only get what it is. I mean, I started looking at the things I wanted, and they became so little compared to what God wanted for my life. Do you know that God has so much more for you, church? He's got so much more He wants to give you, do in you, work through you. But we have to make sure that we gain this wisdom from above. If we stop maturing in life, we stop growing. If we stop growing, we stop in our walk with the Lord, it will limit what God can do in us and through us. And then we start wondering why it seems like God doesn't care. Why isn't God around? Why doesn't God show up? Why doesn't God take care of me? Why isn't God speaking to me? But in reality, God's saying, I'm waiting for you. Draw near to me so I can draw near to you. You see, He loves us very much, but if we stop pursuing Him, it limits what God can do. So the Bible tells us that we are to draw near to him. You've got to take the first step. You've got to apply the principles that we've learned through this series. And when you take the first step, God will take the next. You don't have to have it all figured out, because when God draws near to you, he will show you exactly what it is that you need to do. He'll show you the next step. Amen. Father, I pray this morning that you would have just taken these principles, these nuggets, if you will, of wisdom. And that, Lord, we can apply them to our life. Lord, we don't want to make things so difficult that we feel like you're unreachable and unattainable, but we don't want to dilute them either and make them so watered down that they have no power. So, Lord, we declare today that you are all-powerful. Lord God, for whatever we're facing today and whatever we're going through, you are the answer. You're our deliverer. You're the one that can heal. You're the one that can be the light in the dark place. So, Lord God, may we never dilute down your power and your presence. And, Lord, I pray for those that are here today. Lord, that we just desire to grow in wisdom and in understanding. Lord, I pray that you would deposit deep within our heart these five principles we've talked about. Lord, may we not just listen to them or read about them, but may we apply them in our lives as we go about our way, so that, Lord God, in all that we do, we will bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, I pray for those that are here today that are struggling with difficulties in maybe relationship or the way they've communicated. Maybe they're struggling with finances, or maybe there's a physical health problem that's going on. Lord, we pray that you would be their deliverer and their healer this day. And Lord, may we be a people that simply pray, Lord, may our thoughts please you today. And as we do that, that Lord, you would just reveal yourself and make yourself known to us. So Father, help us to be a people that think before we speak. Help us to be a people that feed ourselves, that make right choices. We listen and obey and watch our mouth. And as we do that, we become better from the inside out. So we receive that, Lord, and we ask it all in your name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? I want to remind you, men, that we have a Man of God meeting this weekend, this Saturday, 8 a.m. So if you can, please let us know that you're coming. There's a sign-up sheet. That's really just so we can make sure we get enough food. And as you go this week, these principles you learn, guess what? They're going to be tested the moment you walk out the door.